Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week in WWE, as we are a little under a month away until WrestleMania 40 going down live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, on Fight Game Media, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited for the conversation. A lot to talk about, some good, some bad, but a lot to talk about. And one thing I did learn is that you don't talk about age gaps. That hits nerves.
You know, that is so true. You do not mention another man's midlife crisis. That is something that you don't do at any time. And once again, the aforementioned Dwayne The Rock Johnson dropped not a 21-minute video, but a 10-minute video showcasing why things are simply bigger in Texas, going off on Cody, Seth, Pharaoh. He gave Pharaoh a new name. As my new favorite feud of 2024 continues, he is no longer called Pharaoh. According to Rock, he is now known as Shithead.
Yeah. You know, Pharaoh gonna have to make an appearance, maybe get a backstage segment with him biting Dwayne. You know, and then you could just have The Rock be like, I'm not coming back to WrestleMania. You won't see me again to WrestleMania. You know, something ridiculous. I don't know. But yeah. Pharaoh got to get his comeuppance, got to get his reparations.
He has to travel on the road to WrestleMania. He's got to make one stop. And I think the one stop he can make conceivably is Memphis, Tennessee on Friday. You can drive from Georgia to Tennessee. He can park his little self there. He can meet Dwayne in the parking lot and then proceed to pee on his leg.
Yeah, I don't know if Dwayne's going for that. But we could have the face-to-face.
Yes.
I would thoroughly enjoy Dwayne trash-talking the dog face-to-face.
It needs to happen. It needs to happen. And Pharaoh needs to bark when Dwayne barks at him verbally. So I need this in my life. WWE, you've been teasing it for weeks now on social media. I need the Pharaoh and the Rock face-to-face. In a parking lot, in the ring, backstage, on the bus, in a truck, somewhere before WrestleMania, because I need to see this. I need to see The Rock cut a promo on a live dog, something he hasn't done in his illustrious career. We need that content. So please, WWE, come through and give the people what they want. Pharaoh versus The Rock before WrestleMania.
Yeah. All right, that's cool. You know, it might pop a little bit. Pharaoh versus The Rock. That's what The Rock's coming back for. That's going to be his warm-up match, huh? Pharaoh just chasing him around the ring. Going to get that cardio in, I can tell you that.
Get that heart pumping. Get those lungs going. Make sure he's not going to be too tired. Like, run a couple of laps around the ring with Pharaoh. He'll be okay. But, yeah, in all seriousness, like, The Rock is going through his midlife crisis at 51, 52 years old now. So go ahead, go through it. I'm entertained by it. He's still eating up a lot of television time, but he is The Rock, and who's going to tell him what to do? Except the cameraman to say, hey, we don't have overruns here on Fox. Hurry up. We're going off the air quickly.
You know, we'll get to that, but let me just say, I thought that them cutting it when they did actually probably worked out in their benefit.
It did, for sure. Definitely. Gave you a good cliffhanger. It left you wanting more. You didn't get that immediate gratification as to what The Rock was going to do and how would Roman react as well. So maybe you tie that over for their next confrontation. You got a few to go until WrestleMania as that show rapidly approaches as we have our night one main event locked in. We'll get to that momentarily. But before we dive into SmackDown from Dallas, Texas, let's talk about our second favorite topic, which is the NBA Western Conference standings. And as we are into the home stretch of the regular season, things are getting tight in the West. And as things get tight, injuries also occur and they are racking up not only for the East, but the West as well. We got Karl Anthony Towns, meniscus injury. LeBron's got the shaky ankle. Now Steph Curry's got a shaky ankle. So as we're trying to fight for the play-in and ultimately trying to get in that top six, it is getting a bit more challenging with injuries. We had the Warriors and the Lakers both beat the Bucks. They both have bad losses midweek. And then the Lakers bounced back last night, beat the Wolves in LA. And now they're 36-30 in the ninth spot, 6-4 in their last 10. The Warriors beat the Spurs tonight after they lost to them over the weekend. Egregious. But they're now 34-32 back from the ninth spot, 6-4. And for entertainment purposes, this weekend, when we record our episode, it will be in prime time, the Warriors versus the Lake Show. And one of us y'all will be bragging. He says, y'all.
Me.
We shall see come next Monday morning.
Listen, I feel very good. You know, you guys lost to a Wimbiana-less Spurs. let's throw that out there. Let's not forget that. If you guys lost to the Spurs team without the potential defensive player of the year. I digress. LeBron's ankle, I will say this. Solomon Hill is the greatest weapon ever used against LeBron James. He hasn't still recovered from Solomon Hill. It ain't Steph Curry. It ain't the Spurs. It ain't J.J. Barea. It ain't Jason Terry. It's Solomon Hill. That guy is the kryptonite to LeBron James. Still getting him.
The brashness, the audacity to put that man above the 2014 Spurs, yeah, and then put him ahead of Steph. Egregious. Yeah. Egregious. Yeah. Egregious.
You know, if that doesn't happen, tell me who. LeBron might be playing till he in his 30th season. Now he might only get to 25.
He's going to do 22 seasons. No, I take that back. 23 seasons is a nice round number to match MJ's jersey number and his own. So it fits. 23 seasons. He'll retire in 2027.
Good God. That's crazy.
He's got to pull the Tom Brady. He has to be in the NBA, too. He's like in his mid-40s, still balling out and defying the laws of science and sports.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just crazy to think about that. I was in like middle school going into high school when he came out. Now he's about to be doing his thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, and his son's going to be entering the league in the next year or two as well. So he could be playing with his son for a year. 23. You never know. Very good possibility, but very tight in the West. We have the Thunder and the Nuggets and the Timberwolves and the Clips in the top four, Pelicans in the five spot, Suns in the sixth spot, Kings in the seventh spot, followed by the Mavericks, Lakers, and Warriors. And that is going to be a battle. Do you see any possibility for the Lakers or the Warriors to squeeze into that top six, considering that the Suns are also having the injury bug with Devin Booker's ankle also being injured recently?
Suns are playing great. Kevin Durant is I'm not even a Durant fan, but he's playing out of his mind right now. So they're going to be a problem. But I've been said it. I think we're going to get the sixth seed. So I still feel very confident in that. Vando still isn't playing, so we don't even have our second best defensive player out there. So the biggest thief in NBA history still got a chance to prove me wrong. Hopefully he can hit a couple shots, but we got D'Angelo Russell playing well. He's our X factor. I'm still sticking where we get that sixth seed.
All right, we shall see, and we shall see what the Warriors and the Lakers do in prime time on Saturday night on ABC. We'll report back next Monday. One of us will be happy. One of us would be sad. Scott's pounding his chest. I have nothing to say right now, but if I'm smiling and extra cheesing through the mic on Monday, you know why. And Scott will be silent, wondering, why am I here? But we'll get there when we get there. As we now transition to NXT Roadblock going down this past Tuesday at the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. We've been talking about NXT recently, saying it's been through some highs and lows as of late, heading into Stand and Deliver in Philadelphia, going down at, yes, 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, April 5th, 11:30 in the morning. Give me a reason to get up for brunch. We shall see about it. But this show, I thought, was an improvement from the past few weeks, but some things are still sticking out in a way that makes me think that this product is a bit cold heading into their biggest show of the year, their equivalent to WrestleMania.
I think it goes to kind of the show that they don't quite have the depth that they've had in the past. That may have to do with some of the main roster talent not being there. They've definitely had main roster talent come down in the past few years. But I do attribute that to them just not having the depth right now. I mean, our title match is going to be Tony D versus Ilya, you know, and that's fine. It's fine, but it can't headline. You know, it's not a bigger match than Trick and Mello. So I don't think they have the depth right now. I the show was fine. The show was good. You know, I enjoyed it. The people I came to see, I thought they did a good job. And what they're going to have to do at Stand and Deliver is they're going to have to put whoever their top people are, they're going to have to be the ones in the match. You know, you can have maybe a showcase match on the NXT before or after that they tape normally, but you need to have your best people on, because like you said, this ain't on at like 7 o'clock. This is on 11:30. You know, I got kids. My kids ain't gonna be trying to sit still to watch Tony D. They could be like, "Yo, Dad, why is the Godfather out there? Why is he so big?" You know, so like, you know, can't you got to, like you said, you got to give us a reason. Put your best people out there and make sure they put out a hell of a performance.
Yes, and I can tell you right now that I will give NXT the first 90 minutes, and then I have GH fan club obligations. I'll be unavailable at 1 o'clock. So I have to cut it off, turn the Peacock off, you know, put it on pause.
Shout out to the Screener Nation.
Yes. Go on pause, hit the replay button, see what happened. I mean, that's how it is right now. But I'm intrigued by the show, but at the same time, it's like, give me a reason to tune in. And I love Tony D'Angelo. I love Dragunov. Can Dragunov pull out the best match from Tony D'Angelo ever? I think he can, but it will not be the main event. Now, if they exceed expectations, good luck to Trick and Mello. That's going to be a tough spot to be in, but I want to see what Tony D can do against an elite performing Dragunov, who always stands up to the challenge when he's up against a wall, when he's trying to get somebody over. He just brings out the best in them, and I think he'll do so against Tony D'Angelo, who I did not foresee being in this position heading into Stand and Deliver a few weeks ago.
I thought you were going to say Ilya always stands and delivers.
I almost did that. I was so close. I caught myself.
I thought you were about to pull the trigger right there, and I would have been cool with it, because there's no doubt about it. When it comes to the big matches, he does come through. He elevates his talent, like him versus Trick. That's easily Trick's best match he's ever had in his career. Hard hitting, probably the most physical match. Probably why they took him off TV. Like, yo, hey, y'all gonna have to give me a couple weeks. I ain't know it's gonna be like that. Y'all gonna have to give me a couple weeks. But Tony D hits hard too. I'm not opposed to this match. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm down on this match, because I think Tony D is gonna have a great showing. He's got a great babyface fire in him, even though his character is like just all heel, his characteristics, the way he acts, but he's got a great babyface fire in the ring. So it's a little bit of an oxymoron right there. But as far as when he makes that big comeback against Dragunov, I think he'll be able to get the crowd with him. I think he'll be able to get them behind him for that comeback to buy into the big near falls towards the end of the match. I'm going to see what they do in a couple weeks, but you know, I feel like this is either going to be a nice match for Dragunov, or they're going to pull the upset of the year, because nobody's going to expect Tony D to win this match.
No, I have no sense of a title change. If it happens, I'll be stunned. But I always underestimate Tony D in some ways because he's a great amateur wrestler. You see that in his matches. And I think that would be an asset to him during this match against Dragunov for the NXT championship. He's a suplex machine when need be. He can go out there and put in that work, and Dragunov will drag that out of you, whether you like it or not. And I think it's going to be a very fun, bruising, physical matchup that could steal the show conceivably if they're not in the main event. And that is going to be prayers up to who has to follow that. That's a prediction of mine. I do want to talk about the beginning of Roadblock on Tuesday night, which was Dijak versus Joe Gacy in an asylum match. It was basically a steel cage match with weapons all over the cage. And these guys beat the holy hell out of each other. Dijak is always impressive in these settings. He can go at a very high level. He can fly too. And he did so by jumping off the top of the cage and delivering a moonsault to Joe Gacy for a very close near fall. I thought both guys delivered. I hate Joe Gacy's character. I want to preface that. The entrance was so fucking corny and kooky, I could not get into it. But as a wrestler, he's great. But as a character, it is weak sauce, and it makes him look so amateur. And that needs to change. He's got potential to be over as a good babyface wrestler who can be physical, that can stand on his own. But as is, this gimmick sucks. But the match, despite all of the stuff that built up to it, which was so bad, both guys delivered.
I thought it was all right. I think them having Gacy kick out of the moonsault off the top of the cage was a bit ridiculous. So it was fine. Dijak deserves better. I think he's in a spot right now in NXT where he should be. I know he won the match, but he should be in feuds, you know, about the title. Even if he's not going for the title, he should be like, hey man, I'm going for this title. And somebody should be like, nah, I'm coming for it too. And that should be the crux of what everything Dijak is doing right now, because he's been with NXT for a long time. And that NXT title has eluded him. And he's top three wrestler on that brand right now. So I feel like, you know, this is beneath him. And I'm hoping after Stand and Deliver, because I was thinking it was going to be him and Ilya at Stand and Deliver. I thought that's what you were building to, giving him these big wins. You give him this big win here. So I'm hoping after Stand and Deliver, we really start getting behind Dijak as kind of being one of the top people on the brand.
Yeah, he's been a gatekeeper for so long. It's good to see him win feuds at this stage in the game. I know that his contract is due up soon, but I think he's going to stick around. I think he's found a good spot on NXT. I still want him to get a fair shake on the main roster as well, but at least he's winning feuds right now, which is a good thing. He won the feud against Joe Gacy. Like you said, it's hard to take this guy seriously, but it was still a serviceable match. I enjoyed it for what it was, had the crowd engaged. Then we had, for the NXT tag team titles, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, the Wolf Dogs, versus Chase Hughes, Andre Chase, and Duke Hudson. And did you just bark?
No, I was saying like the Wolf Dogs. It's just, I just think of Baron or Bron Breakker saying it, the Wolf Dogs, the very first time he ever said the name to him. I got it. The Wolf Dogs. And he was so confident. It stuck. But that's all I was just thinking about. I think about that every time I see that team.
It was a moment that broke me, that solidified my love for them, because Baron was like, what? What was that? The Wolf Dogs? What? And then he starts saying it too, like, you love the name. Stop playing. But the match itself was good. A little sloppy in spots. I think Braun forgot that he was not the legal man at one point, and Corbin literally had to pull him off from the pin at one point. But otherwise, Bron Breakker's that dude. He's so great. And I need NXT to appreciate this guy, because he is already main roster bound. He's winning squash matches on SmackDown every week, and he's still doing time in NXT for now. But they're going to miss him, because he's been on this nice run of just reminding people how great he is and how great he is going to be for years to come. I'm going to miss Corbin and Breakker as a team. They've been so much fun. They have kind of brought new life to the tag team scene. But I will say that my favorite guilty pleasure, my favorite guilty pleasure is no longer my favorite guilty pleasure, Chase U. I think the gambling scandal has put a permanent stain on Chase U because Walker HBK took things a little bit too far. He said kayfabe is real. We're going to have our worked crowd boo their school, boo their professor and dean and Andre Chase, boo the school they're supposed to love. And we have the kayfabe cheering section booing the bootleg college. What do you think the fans who actually go there for free are going to do? They're going to boo. They're going to be indifferent. They're not going to care as much. We got Thea Hale going through Saved by the Bell relationship pangs. We got JC Jane giving horrible advice. And it's just a mess. And it's Shawn Michaels' fault because you thought wrestling was real. You pretty much manipulated the fans into thinking this is a real scandal. And now this school and this gimmick that was so over a year or two ago is now kind of ice cold. And at this point, I'm ready for them to lose their accreditation. I hate to say it, but it's true.
I don't know, man. It's just there. But the Wolf Dog's great. You know, Bron Breakker's a beast. He's a monster, moves a little too fast sometimes, but that's okay. The speed is what makes him the monster that he is. He is going to be the new beast incarnate because they gotta reimagine that whole identity. there's your new beast incarnate right there. You know, I am curious to see what their role is going to be at Stand and Deliver because that's obviously one of your top acts. They're over with the crowd. That's a team I'd like for a main roster team to come down and face. You know. You know, we're going to get to Chad Gable later on, but he obviously doesn't have any WrestleMania plans right now. So maybe him and Otis could head down and go after those tag titles versus Baron and Breaker. Because I think that would be a really, really good match that the crowd would be fully invested in on both sides.
Gable and Bron Breakker going at it. I am here for it. I would love to see it. They're both amazing at what they do. And I would love to see that if Chad is in fact going to be WrestleMania-less without a match on the big show, which we'll get to momentarily. But yeah, Scott's indifference towards Chase U is very evident as he went right back to the Wolf Dogs. And I appreciate his honesty. Like, Chase U, I don't go there. I don't take classes.
I skip all the exams.
I skip all the examinations. I don't go to Chase U. Whatever. And that's basically how I feel at this point as well. Used to love the gimmick, but now it's like, give or take, I'm not going to miss it if it closed tomorrow. And that's sad. That's how far we have fallen with Chase U. But still, really good tag team matches. Corbin and Bron Breakker retain. But I think Scott is going to be the Good Brothers versus the Wolf Dogs at Stand and Deliver. And I'm going to be completely honest. It does nothing for me as a match. I feel nothing for the Good Brothers. Like, give me, as you suggested, Chad Gable and Otis, or you give me Axiom and Nathan Fraser, because those teams would put on a show at Stand and Deliver.
So I think you can utilize the Good Brothers just because, you know, sometimes they're motivated. As Carl Anderson said, when the bright lights are on, you get bright lights, Carl. And I think we'll be in a bigger arena. So the lights will be brighter than the NXT warehouse, you know? So we might have a shot at a better match. Luke Gallows is going to be Luke Gallows. You know what you're going to get with that. You're going to get a couple slaps in the punch in the gut, and then he's out the ring. But I think if you make it a three-way with Nathan and Axiom, that's a, you know, if Chad and Otis aren't going to be a part of it. I think that's a good way to keep the movement. That way it doesn't have to just be Baron and Bron Breakker creating that movement. You have Axiom and Nathan Frazer hitting some of these big moves. Corbin can then show out and hit a big move himself, you know, with a big dive over the top, you know, right after they do it. So you make it a three-way, now you create a lot of movement, and this can just be a huge spot fest type match. It can open the card, really get the crowd on their feet, rolling, going. If you want to do a title change, Baron and the Wolf Dogs don't have to take the pin. I actually, now that you mentioned the Good Brothers, because they probably are going to be in it. Why they're down? Why else would they be down there at this point? Them doing that and then adding Axiom and Nathan Frazier, I think you could have something really good right there.
Agreed. That would work for me. It'll make the match more fluid. It'll give it more movement, more spice, more excitement, and I won't be bored, because I know I'm going to be bored. I like the Good Brothers well enough. They can be in Philadelphia. They can be in Orlando. They can be in Timbuktu. They're not going to wake me up very much. I'm just saying, like, the lights could be on the brightest and I still won't care that much, because they have not done much for me over the years. And I used to dig them when they first arrived in WWE, what, almost 10 years ago. I was locked in, and then they weren't, and then they got fired, and then they came back, and then they just been around the last year or so. So show me something. You're back down NXT once again for another run at these titles. Make me care, because right now I do not, and it's coming down to, I need an extra team or two in this match at Stand and Deliver for me to care about you on any level, because right now I simply do not.
And if they're coming down, like, why isn't LA Knight in that, you know, in that, in the US title match, and we get AJ Styles down here facing Dragunov at Stand and Deliver? Ooh. Like, Why isn't that the plan? If we already gonna have the Good, how you gonna send us the Good Brothers and not give us AJ Styles?
Yes.
How you gonna do that? That's like saying Klay Thompson's gonna show up to this signing and we get the social media version of Klay Thompson, the one that snuck into the arena. How you gonna do that? How you gonna do that to us? Like, come on, man.
Ah, oh, Dragunov and Styles would have been amazing.
A lot of fun.
But hey, this is Walker HBK. This is his WrestleMania vision, a step below the actual WrestleMania. His choices here. And speaking of choices, Roxanne Perez is now a heel, as she went after Lyra Valkyrie after her and Tatum Paxley lost to the Kabuki Warriors in an NXT Women's Championship, well, in a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. It was all right for the time it was given. Tatum was all right. You know, she doesn't do much for me. This kind of watered down Mickie James Tristratus angle with Lyra and Tatum is just okay for me. I'm not really drawn in right now. It's a bit too forced for me and campy for my taste. But Roxanne Perez is channeling her inner AJ Lee from 10 years ago by going after Lyra, going after the hand, stomping on it. And Booker T is just a lot on commentary. He's a lot. And it's actually bordering on, I need him off commentary, because he is exhausting. He says so much stupid stuff that I cannot take seriously. I thought at first it was campy and fun. Now he is grating my ever-loving soul.
Yeah, Booker is he's a hit or miss guy. Roxanne as a heel is good. It's a lot better than I thought it would be. I think she's shown a very good vicious side to her. A lot of fire. I like it. The arm stomp over the turnbuckle. Nice spot right there. That should be a fun match. That should be a really good match. Man, Roxanne's been there a long time. I would like to see her called up, but I'd love to see a nice long heel run with Roxanne until Sol Ruka's ready to come and take that title. Nah, that's a bit much, but I wouldn't be opposed to Roxanne winning that match at Stand and Deliver for the title, which I'm assuming is going to be the match, especially as this vicious heel that she's got going on.
Yeah. I also want to call it up. There's nothing else she can do down there. The competition is very light, but I think that she is due a run as a heel, and she's never lost that championship outright. She has never been pinned. She was in a ladder match last year, did not retrieve it because Indy Hartwell did. She never got pinned for the championship ever. So therefore, she has a shot now to get this title as a heel. I am game for it. Let's go. Let's do the thing. I'm excited about it. Should be a good match. Lyra Valkyrie has been a fine champion, but she is not over as a babyface. And she's a good worker, but there's still something missing in the personality department that for whatever reason the fans are not connecting with right now. And hopefully through whatever she's going through with Tatum Paxley, something comes out of it, because she is a star and you can see that via how they push her. But it's just that extra thing she needs to figure out in order to stand out. I think about Toni Storm a lot in AEW, that for a long time, it took her a while to say, who am I as a performer? And then Timeless Toni Storm happened, and it was like lightning in a bottle. You figure it out. Hopefully Lyra figures out, what is that thing I need to do that's going to make me stand out as a character that can also compliment how great I am as a wrestler?
I just don't think Lyra is it. And, you know, that could just be me. I think she's a good wrestler. I think she's a good person to have on the roster. She's somebody like, you know, you can rely on, you can put the title on, but I don't think she's anybody that, you know, you build around, you headline with. That's just how I view it. I wouldn't take, you know, I wouldn't believe her headlining over any, you know, Ilya match or Trick and Mello or anything like that. So she doesn't have that hype to her for me.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty. That means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. I agree. Now, it's not to say she won't get there, but not right now, for sure. Not as currently presented, for sure. But I still have hope. It's never too late to figure it out in life. It can be 15 years in the game, and all of a sudden, a light bulb goes off, and you figure out your character, and it's a great thing. Hopefully, it doesn't take her 15 years, but she's got to figure it out eventually before she moves on up to the main roster. As we now get to the main event of Roadblock, which was Carmelo Hayes versus the aforementioned Tony D'Angelo. I'm going to be very honest. Good match, dead crowd, until Trick came out. That crowd was just dry. They went to sleep. They were lethargic. I wasn't into it. I guess the dynamic wasn't as dynamic as it could have been. And the fact that Carmelo Hayes is supposed to be the biggest heel on this show, and he's supposed to be an automatic heat magnet, but he wasn't generating a lot of heat in this match until Trick came out.
Well, I think part of the reason that this match didn't work is that everyone was on their hands, is that they were just waiting for Trick to come out. And, you know, like you said, the match was fine. Tony D was fine. But everyone was just waiting for Trick Williams. Trick Williams has slowly, he might be the face of that brand right now. I mean, they were waiting for him. And when he came out, everyone got up. Everyone got up and was like, yeah, let's get it. Let's go. We here now. Like, we outside. Trick Williams, let's go. So I'm just shocked that it's not a three-way with Trick, Mello, and Dragunov. Like, I'm shocked because that title has been in the middle of this entire feud. Dragunov has been in the middle of this entire feud, and you still got them two. I don't know. I know the one-on-one match is the big money match, but your biggest match possible is those three in a title match. And now you got Dragunov versus Tony D. The match will be good. I'm hoping it'll be good because Trick is going to get an ovation like he should. He's going to wake everyone up. Everyone's going to put the pancakes down to go and stand up for Trick Williams and tell everybody to whoop that Trick. Okay. Now, when the match starts, they might go back and finish eating their pancakes before they wake back up, but they definitely going to put them down when that entrance hit. So it is what it is. This is what we got, but everyone was just waiting on Trick Williams.
They were, and they got the tease from Tony D when he won the match fair and square, and then he got the real actual Trick in the building, and these fans got up on their feet, and they were happy to see their guy. And I think the next couple of weeks is going to be the most consequential promos Trick Williams were ever cut in his career, because now it is personal. It is Mello, Trick at Stand and Deliver. They should be the main event. They will be the main event, I do believe. If not, definite choices by Walker HBK. But this will be Trick's time to get on that mic and basically talk that talk like only he can. I believe he will. The fans will eat it up. They'll love him, but he's got to cut career-defining promos on Mello to make this match matter. And as you said earlier, you know, Dragunov has been circling around both guys for half a year now. and they've been fighting over this championship back and forth. We've had the battles between all three guys, and you would think that would be the match. And the thing is, Dragunov does not have to get pinned. Trick pins Melo to win the championship, and if you run it back at Battleground, it can be Trick versus Dragunov, and then Trick wins there, and then maybe send Dragunov directly to the main roster where he belongs. That's what I would have done instead of what we're doing now with Tony D'Angelo, which is maybe two PLEs too early. Save it for Heat Wave in Toronto. Not so much right now. Send and deliver for a match he probably will not win, unfortunately.
Well, not only that, you mentioned, you could have Trick pin Melo for the title. And then you have Trick and Dragunov, and you still have Trick versus Melo in the one-on-one match. I mean, Melo would absolutely can say, that wasn't one-on-one. You can't beat me one-on-one. So you would absolutely have that. And that could, you could easily drag that out to, say, a SummerSlam. You know, that could be your big SummerSlam, whatever pay-per-view they would have. That would be your big SummerSlam weekend match. So, it is what it is. I'm still excited about the Trick Melo match. I think they've done a great job of building it up. They kind of stalled a little bit to get to where we are. And I am curious to see what the next couple weeks are going to bring. I expect Melo to bring it on the mic. And you talk about Trick needing to bring it. I think Melo is the guy that really needs to step up on the mic. And when I say step up, he needs to make the crowd want to invest even more in the Trick. Trick has the crowd in the palm of his hand. Melo now needs to make the crowd. He needs that Grayson Waller heat when he got rid of Johnny Gargano. And he needs to get to that level. He needs to start getting dirty. He needs to start throwing dust in the eye. You know, just being a grimy dude. That's what's going to take Trick to that next level as far as making sure that crowd is just going to be raucous of not only wanting to see Trick win, but to see Carmelo get what's coming to him.
Absolutely. And I will also suggest playing some Tommaso Ciampa tapes from 2018. Go in the vault, see how that guy was the most hated heel on NXT. And when they got to New Orleans, this guy was getting cursed out by children during his entrance. So you got to kind of channel that kind of heat. I agree with you. Like, he's a great talker, but he needs to be even greater because you need to give that heat back the Trick. What are you dishing out? How personal can you make this? How cutting can you be to volley back the Trick and he can volley back to you and you can really add to what should be a great match, send and deliver in the main event where you guys should be. You worked hard for this moment and this is Trick's official moment to say, I have arrived, and he's literally one step away to being an NXT champion sometime this summer. So it is on Melo too to step up on the mic, to handle business and give us a reason to connect even more. The hook is there, but you want to draw us in just a bit more. Just don't give us a bare minimum, overserve us, and then we're good to go.
Yep.
As we now move on to some highlights from Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, going down live from a sold-out American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. And we have, for the first time ever in WWE, center ring brand sponsorship. Unfortunately, starting at WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we will have to stare at a big, colorful bottle of Prime Energy by Logan Paul. Of all the brand sponsorships to go for, I have to stare at that bottle for hours on end at PLEs moving forward. Snickers couldn't be the first one. Slim Jim couldn't be the first one. 2K couldn't be the first one. Really? I got to look at a Prime bottle that I don't drink as a way for me to watch WrestleMania.
I do prefer the bottle over the Slim Jim. I will say that. The 2K might not be too bad. That could work. The Snickers, I don't know about the Snickers. Snickers might be a choice too. We could definitely do a Fruity Pebbles box.
Oh my God.
What happened to Mountain Dew Black? Where'd that go? We could bring that back, put that in the middle. We could just put the Great Balls of Fire logo right there.
No.
You know, we got a lot of options here. It was bound to happen. It's all about the money. I mean, when we watch UFC fights, but I watch boxing, you know, all of that. So anytime I watch any of that, there's always logos and stuff everywhere. So it is what it is. I am curious. I saw some images online of what it could look like. I am curious to see how big it's going to be. Yeah, that's where we're at right now. Getting that bread.
Brand sponsorship, and you forgot the most obvious one, Scott. The one we fantasy booked last year. Uh-oh. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Right there.
Yeah, I'm gonna swap that out right now. Let's go ahead and get some Captain Crunch. Let's swap that out right now. I'm with the Captain Crunch. I'm trying to mess my gums all up.
Oh my gosh, disgusting. What about Cocoa Puffs?
You had the nerve to call the Captain Crunch disgusting and then follow it up with Cocoa Puffs.
I didn't say Kix, did I? Kix is disgusting.
Kix is nasty. I'm not a big fan of Cocoa Puffs. I'm not a chocolate milk guy. So by the time I finish my Cocoa Puffs, I got chocolate milk. I like to drink my milk sometimes, and then I can't drink my milk because it's chocolate milk.
Okay. What about Apple Jacks?
Give me Cinnamon Toast Crunch over the Apple Jacks. Okay. But the Apple Jacks aren't bad. I'll eat those dry.
I like those too. How about Golden Grahams?
Golden Grahams. What is that? A cereal from the Golden Girls? I don't know about the Golden Grahams.
Do not hate on Golden Grahams. They are delicious, okay?
I will tell you an old classic that I am a fan of and will always be a fan of, and that's Frosted Flakes.
Yes.
Can't go wrong with a bowl of Frosted Flakes.
Yes. Now, Corn Flakes suck. Just need the sugar and then boom. Terrible. Terrible. What about Raisin Bran?
Well, there was where you lost me. I'll just not eat. That's all you got? I'm good. I'll wait till lunch. It's got to be a banana or something around here.
Agreed. Okay, Special K.
What?
Special K.
Nah, this is just as bad as Raisin Bran.
Okay, Honey Bunches of Oats.
I could deal with those, but I'll eat those dry. I don't want those in the bowl.
Okay, let me think of one more before we move on. We've just gone through all the cereals. Rice Krispies.
Oh, now I'll crush a bowl of Rice Krispies if I can get a nice little, if I can get a spoonful of sugar, I'll make those Krispies go down. I'm going to tell you, I'll crush them joints. Snap, crackle, pop.
I knew that you was going to sing song no, that. Yes, I did. Yes, I
that.
Did. The moment you started sing songing that with a spoonful of sugar is going to help not the medicine go down, but the Rice Krispies. I knew you was going in your Mary Poppins bag. I knew it.
Man, don't make me pull my umbrella, but I'll fly away right now. Man, this be a one-man show. You have to pull a Joey Styles.
Oh, gosh, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to try to say that long ass word either, because I'm not going to get trippy on there. OK,
you could be like Paul Heyman and give us the three eyes.
No, no. Future Hall of Famer, by the way, Paul Heyman puts some respect on his name. So let's talk about what we need to talk about. SmackDown was a show. It existed. But I will say one thing that stood out to me was Naomi having sympathy for Bayley and Bianca Belair saying, psh, you weren't here the last couple of years, Naomi. I've been through a lot with Bayley and Damage Control. I don't forgive easily. Good luck to her at WrestleMania. So I sense that we're kind of where we were at the Bloodline, Sammy, Jay situation a year or so ago. So much damage has been done, but eventually, sooner or later, Bianca Belair will come around and help out Bayley in the clutch.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about Naomi as far as having that relationship with Bayley. I still think Jade's going to be the X factor, the one that comes in and just cleans house. And it looks like we're getting the three sisters all in one team, all in one match, tagging up Black Magic at its finest. looks like we're getting those three in there at the same time versus the rest of Damage Control, which is fine, even though I would have much rather just have a tag match and let Jade and Bianca take them titles and, you know, Naomi can go and give the rear view to Dakota. You know, why can't we do something like that? Let's spread the love out. But it looks like that could be where we're going. But yeah, I personally kind of hope Bianca is like, nah, you know, I hope Bianca's like, nah, I'm not getting involved with this. You can do what you need to do. And that's where Jay comes in, because Naomi's like, well, who else do I turn to? And Jay could be standing right there. What's up, Naomi? Let's talk. You know, crowd will go crazy. The anticipation will build. Jade and Naomi will be a fine team. Bianca can have a nice singles match with Tiffany Stratton. I saw an interview where she was talking about wanting to have a non-title women's singles match because, you know, she's been in the title match every year and she's undefeated at WrestleMania. She's already made history and she wants to continue doing that. And, you know, having a non-title singles women's match, you don't see that. So I think having her versus the Tiffany Stratton, not only would that be huge for Tiffany, you know, to give her that type of opportunity versus a titan in the game in Bianca Belair. And after what we just saw, Bianca might be the most wholesome person left in WWE. I'm all actually for that idea. So I actually hope Bianca's like, I'm not gonna support you with this. Like Bailey and me, it's not gonna work. So you're on your own with this one.
Yeah, I like that too. And I've been wanting Bianca versus Tiffany at WrestleMania. I think it'd be a great singles match, standout moment for Tiffany Stratton. And as you said, Bianca Belair has been either a challenger or the champion heading into WrestleMania. And this would be a different setting for her, non-title period. But you're elevating someone at the exact same time. You've main evented. You've been at the top. You've defended and you've retained and you won back your championship. So give that moment for Tiffany to be in that spotlight on the same level. They can have a hell of a match. Give them time. Tiffy time is over. That Philly crowd is going to love her. WrestleMania Saturday or Sunday, whenever they have this one-on-one match, it needs to happen. I don't want Paul Levesque to overthink this. Just do the singles match. What is going to get the most heat? It will be Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton one-on-one at WrestleMania. And I love the idea of Naomi and Jade Cargill joining forces against Damage Control. That'll be a lot of fun as well. And that history with Naomi and Bayley is there. That is key. And with Mercedes about to do big business elsewhere, that's a nice supplement to Horsewoman for like the next few years, because that history is built in real life and in storyline as well.
Yeah, and I'm fully on board with the idea here is that they're moving Jade in slowly, and they're going to make sure that she's in a tag team match. And if it does end up being Naomi and Jade, that means that they have a lot of trust in Naomi to kind of carry that team. And I personally would love to see those tag titles defended. You put Jade in a prominent spot off top. Naomi doesn't, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, Naomi came back for nothing, even though these plans have probably been set for these women for a while. Now she comes back with a serious purpose. They're defending the woman who's going after the biggest title that they have, the Royal Rumble winner and Bayley. I just think there's a lot of meat to that bone right there.
Yeah, and it's built in storyline at the exact same time. And they're telling the story, which is very good. And they're acknowledging that real life history there, which is even more interesting as well, that you're adding to this and adding layers to what really matters, which is Io Sky and Bayley and all the intricacies involved in that. It's multi-layered, which is good. And it's giving everybody multi-stories on SmackDown, which I like. They're doing better on this show versus the Women on Monday Night Raw, which we'll get to later, as we now get to the segment of the show, which was The Decision. Now, basically, Cody and Seth said yes to this match at WrestleMania, the tag team match, the biggest tag team match of all time. The Rock and Roman Reigns, the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, going up against Cody and Seth in the night one main event of WrestleMania in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If Cody and Seth win, bloodline interference free from night two of the main event of Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for that aforementioned Universal Championship. If they lose, bloodline rules, reign supreme. It will be all out mayhem. You got Solo, you got Jimmy, you got Roman, you got The Rock, you got Paul, you got everybody. making trouble for Cody Rhodes, and that would be a tough hill to climb for him to finish his story at WrestleMania Night 2. All in all, I thought this was a fine promo exchange. They were short on time, and we had The Rock talk, Roman talk. Seth told The Rock that he was basically Mr. Midlife Crisis, that we don't want to hear from you, that we don't need you, we don't want you, and we're going to put you down at WrestleMania. And then Roman, who's been great these last few years, kind of had a not a so great line, basically saying that Seth was a cross-dresser. He immediately said, oh, fuck, I said that out loud. Like, yeah, you're above that material, Roman. And then Cody brought it home with The Rock talking about making sure we're making our families proud. My grandfather, Roman's grandfather, your father. And aren't you the third of three kids, Cody, that you're younger than your brother and you're younger than your sister? And I wonder why that is, because you were a mistake. And then when The Rock said that, we had the trademark pop up. We were about to go off the air. There's no overrun on Fox. So Cody responds by slapping the taste out of The Rock's mouth. And that was a cliffhanger. No bonus footage off of WWE social media. That's how the show ended. And it was a nice hook for what will be said in Memphis, Tennessee. And there's a rumor going around on medias that maybe perhaps we will bring back The Rock concert in Memphis, Tennessee for Friday SmackDown, which could be sold out. I would love to see it. The Rock concert 2024 edition, what material he will come up with. But Scott, your take on how this segment ended on Friday night in Dallas.
I love the ending. I love the fact that it ended with Cody smacking him, Roman looking, and The Rock just kind of smiling. I thought that was a great way to end it. You saved the real physicality, because you know we're going to end up getting a big brawl. We're going to get some fisticuffs. So I think instead of it happening now, which it probably was supposed to, you end up saving that. So now we have that at a later date. You can really draw that out. So I thought it was a really good way to end the show. One thing I do want to point out is a lot of people online have talked about how Seth Rollins feels like the odd man out in this match. I would like to point out, and I thoroughly appreciated that the crowd, before anything, when they were about to get started, Seth Rollins was the one that got singled out and got his song sung. They showed him love. They made sure that they let everyone know he is right where he's supposed to be. As far as this match goes, he is right where he's supposed to be. He's that guy. And I love the way he doesn't feel lesser when he starts talking and he starts stepping up to people. You know, when they're just standing across, all right, I get it. I can see it. Rock and Roman, that just feels wow. You know, that feels like just the most powerful people in the world coming together. But when Seth starts stepping up, when he starts talking, when he starts showing that fire, he reminds everyone that, like, I'm right here. I'm right here. I've been here. I do this. This is me. So I appreciate the fact that Rollins is making sure that he has his voice heard and that people know exactly what's going on.
Oh, for sure. I do not like the Seth Rollins slander that I see sometimes. I think it's a bit much. And he is equal with these guys. And I know that The Rock is just levels above even Roman Reigns as a star, of a superstar level, of an aura that you really can't match. That entrance on Friday was awesome. Insane. I mean, my God. Like the Versace, the lightning bolts, the bull with the red eyes now. Like, that was an extravagant entrance. And Roman's great, but The Rock is just levels above him. That is a fact. And Seth holds his own. But let it be known that during this main event tag team match, which would be the biggest tag team match they can possibly put together at this stage in the game, Seth Rollins will be the glue to hold this match together. He will be the engine that's going to keep everything going. And I will guarantee you this, with all due respect to John Cena and what he did with The Rock at those two WrestleManias that were money makers. I wasn't blown away by their matches because The Rock got hurt in both of them and they were just all right. You know, I will guarantee you this. Seth Rollins will pull out one of the best Rock performances you would ever see with this guy being 52 years old. bet.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think it'll be a good match. I'm looking forward to it. I think they've done a really good job of calling an audible at the line, Omaha, and Omaha's working right now.
Omaha's working, and they figured it out immediately. They didn't wait a month. They didn't drag their feet. They figured out the weekend of, oh, shit. We miscalculated this. We had the guy win the Warrior Rumble, and I was going to rescind the offer to challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Make it make sense. But they pivoted. The pivot is pivoting like that sofa on Friends, and they're able to get it together just in time for WrestleMania. And I'm along for the ride. I'm enjoying the storyline. And we know ultimately, when this is all said and done, that The Rock is going to be a double agent stabbing Roman Reigns in the back. Scott thinks that's not going to happen. I think it will happen because The Rock says we are on a ride, and this ride will end in Philly night two at WrestleMania with him stabbing his cousin in the back, and he would say, acknowledge me, bitch. I'm your real tribal chief.
Yeah, I could definitely see him saying that. I think Roman's going to accidentally spear The Rock at some point, and then The Rock's going to rock bottom him and just be pissed off at the whole thing. And then that's where Cody hits the three crossroads for the win.
Yes. And as all of that is happening, $10 million with the fireworks is just going to go off. And as that's happening, you're going to have Roman and The Rock staring down. WrestleMania will not end until 12:30 because all that is going to be theater to end the Bloodline season two. Because according to Cody, as we'll get to now, we're in the ninth inning.
Well, that's good. Because now I can start a new game on the show. So that's good to know. Good to know that this game's coming to an end. My PS5 is getting real hot. It's been on for a long time with this game. So, I'm glad this is wrapping up.
Listen,
must have got the cue from the same production guy from SmackDown. They must have waited to the story. Right? Hey,
wrap it up.
Hey, let's go. Let's go.
Dwayne.
This ain't no review. This ain't no review. This means wrap it up. We're not reviewing nothing.
No instant replay. We got to wrap it up. We got to go. You know, like, listen, Rock, you might be on the board, but listen, I run this here. We're running out of time. There's no overrun. We got to go. So I'm all for that. In all seriousness, you know, I just think that, you know, WWE was smart and listened to the people. They listened to the people. They listened to what the people had to say, and they kind of rolled with it, which I appreciated. So we're now in the ninth inning. We're in the home stretch of this. Finally, you said it out loud on a promo. We're not in the third inning. We're not in the seventh inning stretch. We are now in the ninth inning. I think top of the ninth for night one, bottom of the ninth, night two. The game is over because I felt like we've unlocked 50 levels of this game over the last 4 years. I am tired. I am tired of playing this long Madden game. My God. But we're about to turn the page, finish a story, and start a new one potentially after WrestleMania. And I'm all about that. As we touch on some highlights from tonight's Monday Night Raw, going down live in another sold out city, Houston, Texas, at the Toyota Center where the Houston Rockets play. And we kick things off with Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins talking about his poor decision making as to why are you doing this? Why are you sacrificing yourself? Why are you putting yourself in danger? Why are you sacrificing our match at WrestleMania? But as Drew's whining and complaining, we get the CM Punk chance. Punk will be in Chicago in 2 weeks. That will be sold out most likely at the Allstate Arena. And it's building up to some side feuds over the summer with Seth in the mix, CM Punk in the mix, and ultimately Drew McIntyre, preferably as world heavyweight champion when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's what it seems like we're lining up to. The part of me thinks Drew might get involved with that bloodline thing. Like, I could see Drew winning the title and Seth still being like, yo, all right, well, I'm coming back to you. Don't think I forgot. And something maybe Drew just being like, maybe I will go interfere. I don't know. But Drew's definitely going to get his moment in front of the people. I wonder if Seth maybe suffers an injury. Maybe he tries a dive from the top rope through a table and through the Rock, and the Rock moves and he just goes through the table. So now he's got the injured ribs and the back, and all that could play into night two. So night two is looking real stacked just off top. I mean, you got those two title matches just off top. So I'm wondering where the ladies fit in. I'm wondering if they fit in night one, especially Bayley and Io. I'm real curious because if you put them at night two right now, they're the third biggest match off top. Off top, they're the third biggest match, especially to me, Drew getting that moment is a big deal. But you could argue they're the second biggest match there. But I might put them at night one and just let them be that co-main event along with that tag match.
I'm all about that as well. I am going to love this match. It's going to be great. We don't know how at 100% or less Seth is going to be at WrestleMania, but the time has come for Drew McIntyre to win in front of humans. I've been saying that for the longest time. The coronation is finally happening amongst people. He says he's not doing it for them. He's doing it for him. And I respect that. But what I need WWE to do for me is do what they did at Clash of the Castle almost 2 years ago. You must bring back Broken Dreams, please.
That don't matter to me. He already had his dreams broken. So if he wants to go back to Broken Dreams again, if he wants to go back to the song that led him to the biggest downfall in his career, that's fine. That's fine. Let him bring back those bad memories as he walks to the ring.
Oh my God.
Might as well bring back the 3MBD theme, right?
No.
Call Heath. Gender's already there. Call Heath.
Speaking of which, those 2 weeks went by fast, didn't they? They came and they went.
Some of my boy Gender.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me tell you something. Tony Khan got Gender a main event at Raw. Shout out to TK for that. He got Gender a main event paycheck on Monday Night Raw. That dude went back to India right after that. I was like, yo, y'all see that? Y'all see what I just did on Raw? Y'all see that? Came back a hero. Shout out to TK for that.
Yes, almost took out Seth's knee at the same time. So you know.
That's why he took the flight.
Yes,
he was like, "Yeah, hey, I got to take a quick vacation. I'll be back after WrestleMania."
Yes, it was almost at a cost. So let's be very mindful of what we manifest and how it comes to be. As we get to Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan 1-on-1, and I was shocked that we got a clean finish. I could not believe it. I thought that we were going to get bullshit, but you know what? I respect the booking decisions on this show because you have to make the tough decisions. I love Liv Morgan, but she had to lose last night clean. It builds her up for something down the road. I know in my heart, I would have preferred to have Liv versus Rhea. It is not going to happen, but it is putting Becky Lynch in a very interesting predicament at WrestleMania against mommy Rhea Ripley, who is over, who the fans really love. And I think for the first time in a long time, Becky Lynch is not going to be the crowd favorite. She admitted that after the match, after beating Liv with the manhandle slam out of nowhere, after Liv went for multiple code breakers for close counts as well. And after the match is over, Rhea Ripley says, "You keep taking these challenges every week to prove that you're better than me, but I want you at 100% because if you're not, you're not going to be the man anymore. You're going to be a nobody when I'm done with you." And Becky realizes the tenor in the room that Rhea commands attention. She is the top woman in this division. She has been for well over a year now as a champion, and she knows that she is not going to be the crowd favorite at WrestleMania. The world is against her, and that is when she is great. So it should be a great match, but the heel heat dynamics of it all is going to be interesting, and I think that Becky will be booed at WrestleMania, and Rhea Ripley will be the overwhelming baby face in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match. I thought Liv had a real good showing. Not a surprise considering Becky Lynch was in there. People give Becky Lynch a lot of flack, but she's really good in the ring. And when she has an opponent who can hold their own, they always have a really good match. So this didn't surprise me. I enjoyed the clean finish. Nia Jax came in after when they were backstage, after they had their little handshake. Wasn't quite a fan of that. I would have liked Liv to kind of keep that, you know, on her shoulder, keep that chip like,
hey, this ain't over. I would have appreciated that a little bit, because that's something you could always come back to, like, hey, I'm on my way back up. I'm coming back through you to get to Rhea, because that's still her end game as well. Rhea versus Becky, it's just all going to be about energy. I think it's going to be more of a split crowd. I think they are going to be more in favor of Mommy, but I definitely think Becky Lynch is going to have that following there. I think it's going to be split. Becky Lynch did say the line, when the people are behind me, I'm good, but when you doubt me, I'm great. That's a great line, especially for Becky Lynch. Let's not forget, the man started as a heel. Man was the bad guy, and then he became the fan favorite. It doesn't matter how the crowd starts with this match, even if they are overwhelmingly for Mommy. By the time the match ends, this crowd will be on their feet for both women. Becky Lynch will have the crowd back with her at least 50-50. I have no doubt about that. Seeing what she's been able to do with the different caliber of women that she's been able to do it with, getting crowd reactions whenever she needs to, I think Becky Lynch is more than capable of getting that crowd right back behind her, especially against somebody like Rhea. Even though Rhea's, who knows what type of role she's going to be playing, but I think Becky Lynch is going to be able to keep up and do what she needs to do to get that crowd right behind her by the end of the match.
For sure. I agree. I feel it coming. It's going to be a great match. They have not touched in what, over 4 years now, going on five since NXT. And that was a very different Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch between that time. And they've both evolved since then. And I got the feeling they're going to definitely deliver at WrestleMania. And I do sense that Rhea is going to retain that championship somehow, some way. And next week on Raw, we got Nia Jax versus Becky Lynch in a last woman standing match, which should be a hell of a match, because Nia Jax matches, mostly since her return to WWE, have been pretty good.
Yeah, and this fits the last woman standing match. This fits what they got going on. This fits the feud. It's a good feud ending match. I expect Liv to come in and play a part in this match. I could see her hitting a big dive onto Nia Jax to help out Becky Lynch, especially since her and Becky reconciled, and then Nia came in and attacked them both. Nia and Liv still have their thing. This is a good way to end their feud, keep the title just about Becky and Rhea, and maybe Liv and Nia end up having a singles match as well. They would, I don't know if it's quite a, or actually that's a really good Raw after Mania match. That's a good match that you could have built to for that, considering you're probably, Mania's got a lot of matches going on. You got a lot of people you got to get on the card. So I'm all about getting another women's singles match, but that Raw after Mania, that would be a really good place for that match as well.
And did you pitch winner gets the champion?
You could. It plays right into it, especially with Rhea being the end game, her still having that feud. So I think that's a great hook for the Raw after Mania. And if you add that tagline, you can put that on Mania. You make the winner gets, for the night after Mania. That's a great tagline for that. So I'm all for it. I'm Team Liv. If they do that match, Liv's winning the match.
Oh, absolutely. She better, damn it. She's been second place for so long. Two Warrior Rumbles in a row. Second place at Elimination Chamber. She's got to come in first at some point and be a challenger for a championship and win it sometime this year. That is my hope and wish, because, the push is the push. And she is worthy of it right now. She's been putting in some good work since her return from injury over the last month or so. As we get to some breaking tag team championship news, because there have been some rumors circulating about, are we going to break up these tag team titles, or we have a deep enough division on both shows to have these titles be broken up and maybe get some new belts, which I think needs to happen. Like, I hope that we're getting some new belts at WrestleMania. That'd be nice to see. But we're going to get, which could potentially be an absolutely batshit crazy match at WrestleMania, we're going to have an undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship six-pack challenge ladder match.
It's a lot of people. That's a good way to get a lot of people on the card. Maybe we can't get that Nia Liv Morgan match on there. You're going to, and the, you know, we got like, we got the Creed Brothers versus DIY next week. So, you know, it's like, that's two teams. I'm going to tell you something. If Julius Creed's not out there playing with a ladder at WrestleMania, you got a missed opportunity.
Okay.
You haven't been watching NXT. Okay. You have, this dude is going to hit a four. This dude is going to hit a 450 off the top of that ladder onto somebody. All right. Brutus is going to hit a Brutus bomb from the top of the ladder onto somebody on top of the table. Julius is going to suplex literally every single person and do a kip up right after. You know, I was talking about, you know, the who you can call it, the new beast incarnate, the new suplex machine. It might not be Braun. It might be Julius. The most athletic guy I think I've ever seen since maybe Shelton Benjamin, just a freak of an athlete. And, I think if he's not in that ladder match, it's a missed opportunity. But then DIY has been having a feud with them. Awesome Truth's probably going to be in it because they're facing, Gender Veer and Million Dollar Arm. So, I think you, I think you just, it's choices as far as the matchups go.
It is choices. Only five teams can make it. And if there's a last chance opportunity, if the Creed Brothers do not beat DIY on Monday, Triple H, Paul Levesque, your government name, you cannot be asinine enough not to have Julius Creed on a WrestleMania card with ladders to do crazy Shelton Benjamin shit.
Yeah.
You have to have this guy have his WrestleMania moment to say, this guy has got next. Here is the official Julius Creed introduction. If you do not have Julius and Montez Ford trading verticals in the ring and doing crazy shit off of ladders, we got problems. I love looking at Julius. I do. I've seen the fits. He is thirst trapping. He needs to stop that. But otherwise, I love him, but I need him in motion in a ring, preferably at WrestleMania, doing crazy shit off of a ladder because Cheddar Biscuits, baby, all day, unlimited supply, unlimited.
Give me Judgment Day. Give me the Creed Brothers. Give me LWO. Give me Legato too. Miz and Truth are going to be in there as well. And then for that final team, I think you got to, he's got to be in WrestleMania. So Legato probably won't be in. It'll probably be DIY there. Chad and Otis have to get to WrestleMania. Like, Chad's got to get to WrestleMania. So I think that would be a nice team for that. I think that would be a good six right there. You could swap out Legato if you want to. Oh, actually, you got to put the Street Profits in there. So Chad and Otis, they got to go out. So we got the Street Profits in there.
And Chad is not in that match. It's Akira Tozawa, which makes the decision even easier.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
It makes it easier.
Street Profits, DIY, Creed Brothers, LWO, and Miz and Truth.
Those are the five teams. I can tell you that could steal the show. Whatever night it's going to be on, night one or two, unless you're Gunther, I would not want to follow the match.
And another team we cannot count out, actually, is the New Day.
That's right. They
will probably end up the New Day, Imperium. Like,
oh,
there's a lot. And those are all, I mean, those are good teams. It's like Giovanni jumping off of ladders and stuff is a lot of fun. Kofi's going to be, he's not going to be doing no rumble spots, but he's going to pull out big spots. Xavier can work with the ladder. So the match is going to be real good. Maybe LWO doesn't make it, you know, because Kofi and them could fill that spot right there. They've done a good job of putting stakes on all these matches now. So, you know, you don't want one of these teams to lose, and that's what you want because it adds to the drama.
It does. DIY and Creed Brothers is going to hurt my soul because one of them has to lose. But LWO, like Joaquin Wilde flying, like, oh, like the possibilities. Like, if you just want a full on stunt show, nothing but spots, you got the teams right there. And it could be, I'm going to be very brazen, very, very brazen. Discounting Money in the Bank, because those matches were great at WrestleMania. If we get the teams we need for this match, could be TLC WrestleMania 17 great.
Yeah. We'll see.
You got the hops, man. The athleticism is on a different level.
No question. But the thing I think is going to work against them is what can they possibly do that we haven't seen? And I think that's what TLC will always have. I mean, like, that match still holds up even today just because of how insane some of those spots are. But when they were doing it, you couldn't just turn into a random Monday or Wednesday or Friday or Thursday and just and you get to see that, you know? So that's where I think it would kind of it's gonna hurt it, but it's just not gonna be as jaw dropping. Like last year's tag match was really fun. You know what I mean? Like that was a really good match. And I think this will eclipse that. But TLC to me and the first Money in the Bank specifically, those matches are like iconic, where when you talk about the goats of wrestling matches, they're on that list
for sure. I'm gonna put a bid. It's WrestleMania 40. I'm putting the bid in. It will be on that level.
Underdog, woo woo.
Underdog for sure, for sure. Then we get to our main event of the evening, which is our gauntlet match. And before that, we had Jay basically challenge Jimmy for a match at WrestleMania. Do what you do. Do Brad and Owen open the show. Pick a night, any night. Open the show.
Night one.
Let the twins do what they got to do. And I want Jimmy to prove the naysayers wrong, thinking that he's the less superior brother in the ring. Like, they're both great. They'll have a great match. I know that if you're not Brad or Owen, brother versus brother can be dicey. But I think these brothers, these twins, will handle business.
Yeah, this should be a good match. They should open night one. They closed night one the year before as a team. Now they open night one facing each other. Good story there. So I'm here for that. I think the match will be good. I would love for it to get to Brett Owen levels. I think it'll pass Matt and Jeff levels, even though I thought that match was pretty good. But I think it'll surpass that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this match. And what I think Jimmy's going to have to bring, I'm not worried about the in-ring work. Jimmy's just going to have to bring it on the mic, because Jay's been in a roll a little bit with the mic work.
Yes, but Jimmy, if you let him go, he will go. So I believe that as well. So when they're both cooking, they'll cook together. I do believe that. And now it's time to talk about the gauntlet match. The winner will move on to face Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, Saturday or Sunday. It was six guys going at it. We had Shinsuke Nakamura, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, JD McDonagh, and Sami Zayn. Really good match. It was JD McDonagh and Ricochet starting things off. Good match. Ricochet wins. Then Bronson Reed dispatches Ricochet. And then Sami Zayn takes care of Bronson Reed. And then Bronson Reed splashes Sami Zayn. And that gives Shinsuke Nakamura the advantage ever so briefly. But Sami Zayn, bat ankle and all, is going to deliver a haluva kick to Shinsuke Nakamura to get the pin. And it's down to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, two white meat baby faces, two guys that I really enjoy, and they put on a great match. Chad Gable was determined to win this match to get to WrestleMania for himself, for his daughter, for redemption. And Sammy was trying to claw his way on this card because he was going through a losing streak dating back to late last year. So he needed to get back on track, win this match to punch his ticket to WrestleMania. Also a last year main eventer as well. So we had Chad go for the suplexes, go for the ankle lock, and Sammy was fighting at the tap out of that. And then we had some insightful commentary from Cole and McAfee about Sammy absorbing Ramadan and going fasting for a bit. So that might affect how his stamina and cardio could go for this match in terms of how he could go deep into this matchup, which was good insight. So eventually it comes down to Chad Gable going for another ankle lock, going for a suplex, and then Sammy counters that, rolls him up for the 1-2-3. Upon further review by Eagle Eye viewers, it appears that Chad's shoulders never touched the mat. Will that be addressed in any way, shape, form, or fashion? To be determined, because I can't see Chad Gable not being on WrestleMania. Is there a way for him to sneak into this match with Gunther and Sammy to make it a triple threat if this is going to be a storyline issue next week or on social media this week? We'll see about it, but really good main event. Crowd got into it in the end because you got two baby faces fighting for one spot at WrestleMania against Gunther, who was suited down last night. I mean, suited down, fitted perfectly. He was the ultimate boss out there to say, good luck taking this from me at WrestleMania. Prayers to you, Sami Zayn, as he basically drank Chad Gable's tears.
The match was good. The order was a little baffling as far as how and why certain things were going on. I know Chad and Sammy were the two that most people thought would make it, so you save them towards the end. But Chad just kind of, he doesn't come out of this looking great. Like, you had Sammy right there for the pickings, and if you were really willing to do whatever it takes, you would have just pounced on him. Like, you'd have been like, I'm sorry, dude, I got a family, and you would have just pounced on him. But it didn't. So I thought the best match of the gauntlet was Ricochet versus JD McDonagh. I thought they got it off to a great start. I thought JD played his role perfectly as far as just being a fall guy right there to give Ricochet a nice bounce back win on his return. So that was smart there. Bronson Reed came in and dominated. And then this is where I would have changed the order a little bit. I think if you're going to have Sammy have all of those injuries, have him and Gable have that match, the match before he goes against Bronson Reed. Because you can have Gable tear that ankle up, just go after it. And before he goes after Chad, you can have him and Shinsuke. Give Shinsuke a big win over Ricochet. Then Sammy comes out. Shinsuke and Sammy have their match. Sammy beats Shinsuke. Shinsuke attacks him after the match. Then you have Chad Gable come out. Chad Gable comes out. They have their same match. Chad Gable targets that ankle, targets it, goes after it. So now Sammy got beat down by Shinsuke. He's got the hurt ankle coming from the Chad Gable match. Then you bring out big Bronson Reed. I get it. You wanted to give him a win over Ricochet as well. But if he's not going to win the match, that win over Ricochet meant nothing anyway. So now you bring out big Bronson Reed, and it's like, holy hell. Maybe we are getting Bronson. You know, maybe have Bronson cut a passionate promo before, a backstage one where he's like, I'm coming. You know, this is me. I didn't get my chance in my home country. Well, I'm taking my WrestleMania moment now. Give us a reason, like, maybe he is going to do it. So now you got Bronson versus Sammy as your final matchup, a big-time heel that the fans are like, hey, well, Sammy got some work to do now. So I just think the order of it was a little bit confusing.
The order was definitely a choice. I know you don't want to copy what Kofi did 5 years ago. That was a great gauntlet.
Why? Well, I mean, why not? Why wouldn't you? The format works.
Yes, I agree.
The format works, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think in their minds, like, they've done that before, and you're trying to get somebody over, like, oh, let's make a star. I agree, make a star. Just go the distance. Have either Chad start the match and have him finish it with Sami Zayn. Give that a more compelling match order. Have him beat everybody, and that'll be, to me, the more compelling story. JD, to me, wasn't going to be a threat to win this thing, with all due respect. Ricochet would have been a great challenge next up, followed by Bronson, then Shin, and then Sami Zayn. I think that would have been the more proper order. And then you can even give more equity to Chad Gable, who is in this WrestleMania hunt, who's done the social media work on his own dime to push this narrative. He's doing it for his daughter, doing it for himself. He needs it. It just means a bit more than what everybody else's WrestleMania dreams are. If they flip the format that way, I'm all for that. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just thinking in WWE's head, there is a standard there. Do you want to keep repeating the formula? I say if you're trying to build somebody up who can go the distance, who can put in the work and wake the crowd up for, what, half an hour? You do it. And I thought the Chad Gable would have been the great pace setter throughout that match, shake up the formula and the order, and it would have been an even better matchup with a more compelling finish if he started things off in the one spot. Mm-hmm. All righty. And I think there's one more item to address on the show, which is a conversation that you broached on Discord about, if I'm not mistaken, WrestleMania hypothetical cards.
My cards destroyed after that six-man ladder match. So I'm not even going to read mine. I'll talk about a couple matches I think might happen, but my card's destroyed. That's 12 guys right there.
All right. So Jeremy Finestone, his 6-7 match card. Let's see how it holds up after what happened tonight on Raw. So main event tag, 2-match, obviously. Roman, Rock, Cody, Seth. Becky versus Rhea, Women's World Championship. Orton versus Paul. But you better throw an Owens in there, Jeremy. That's going to be a triple threat, most likely. We got Judgment Day versus The Miz and R-Truth. Well, that's done now because it's going to be a six-pack challenge ladder match. Styles versus Knight, correct. Owens will be versus most likely Orton and Paul for the U.S. Championship. And Jay versus Jimmy, which is possibly a Night 1 opening match for WrestleMania. Night 2, Cody versus Roman, Seth versus Drew. Bayley versus Io, Gunther versus Sammy, correct on that. Shayna and Zoe versus Kabuki Warriors that happened last night on Raw, and they lost clean. And Bianca versus possibly, we don't know, maybe Tiffany Stratton. So that card mostly holds up for now. Paul Fontaine, night one, Io versus Bayley, Knight versus Styles, Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca and Jade, Jay versus Jimmy, KO show, main event tag, night two. Becky versus Rhea, Paul versus Orton, Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth. You can bust that up. Six-pack challenge. KO Cena versus Waller in theory. So Cena can bury theory 2 years in a row out of WrestleMania. Seth versus Drew, Roman versus Cody. And then you said you would save your full predictions for the show, but they've blown up to bits due to the six-pack ladder match challenge for those tag team titles.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously the tag team match, Rock, Roman, Cena, or Seth and Rollins. I had Jimmy J open in the match, Gunther, Sammy. And then, you know, my tag match was the Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day, but that's scrapped those plans. I think we get LA Knight versus AJ Styles on night one. I think that's a good buffer match as well. This is also where I think we'll get Tiffany versus Bianca night one. Night two, and then, you know, we got two title matches, Bayley, EO. I got that on night two. I think they're going to really stack up night two and make that an all-time card. You got the triple threat, which I think will happen, Orton, KO versus and Logan Paul. I think we'll get Jade, and I think that'll be a damage control show as well. Jade, and I had Bianca first, but I changed it just a minute. I had Bianca and Jade, but I'm changing it to Bianca and Stratton on that first night, and I'm going to do Jade and Naomi versus Damage Control on night two for those tag titles.
All right.
Oh, and Rhea Becky night one.
Yes. Yes. So we'll see how the final lineup goes. Six-pack challenge blew up everything. So we'll see how it goes in the latter stretches heading into the heart of WrestleMania season. And with that, that is a wrap for this show. But before we go, well, actually, let's table that discussion because we haven't seen the best match we could possibly see this week, correct?
No, I don't think so. But I will say from what I saw from NXT, SmackDown, and Raw, for me, it was JD versus Ricochet. Thoroughly enjoyed that, followed by Becky and Rhea. I mean, Becky and Liv.
Yes, I agree. I think there's more matches to see this week to make a full determination for next week. And we'll dive into a little bit more for Monday Night Raw, specifically Cody's promo that will tie in to SmackDown on Friday on Fox for Memphis, Tennessee. But until then, I want to thank my co-captain, as always, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we chop it up to recap the week that was in WWE.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I look forward to seeing what they have in store for the middle of the ninth inning, right before Mariano Rivera comes in the bottom of the ninth to close it out after night one. So I look forward to seeing what we got in store. And hopefully we do get a Rocky concert.
I do. I hope so as well. We need the Rock concert. We need it in our lives in Versace. Only way to do it. Only way to flex. Cowboy hat in Versace with some Terramana, sipping on the stool, strumming the guitar. And I need Roman Reigns with cell phone lighters up as background doing acapella stuff. I need that
Jimmy
in my
life. Jimmy will do it. Jimmy will
have yes. cell phone up. Yes, he will, for sure. Paul will too. Solo will just stand there stoically, like, why am I here? But we'll see how it goes Friday on Fox, which should be another sold-out house. And for WWE, cool mark, 7th straight sellout for television. Big business right now for WWE heading into the heart of WrestleMania season. So until next week, that's this week for WWE. We'll be back next Monday on schedule as we discuss the week that was across Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. For myself and Softy Scott Young, enjoy the rest of the week for WWE. Until next Monday, take care and bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.